Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Sacramento's new airport terminal opens to glowing reviews with a big party and a public visitation day. We were at the airport this morning and have exclusive visitor comments.
United and Continental Airlines are merging their operations and their frequent flyer programs, too.
We'll break down the pros and cons for the casual and the professional traveler with experts Clayton Whitehead, Ben Schlopik, and Ed Perkins.
The cultural arts season has kicked off in Sacramento with the prelude to the season. And coming up real soon, we'll have details in our entertainment segment.
All that and more on a fun-filled hour today with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Let's go on with the show.
On with the show we go. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to say it again. It's a beautiful Sunday. It's not raining today, but it may rain tomorrow.
May rain tomorrow, yeah, and the next day and the next day.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys every Sunday at this time, 2 to 3, here on KFBK. For all of our regular listeners, thank you for joining us. If you're just running across us for the first time, thank you so much for finding us. All information about the Travel Guys can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Big morning for you, Mark, and some very special sports leisure vacation travelers.
Boy, I would say so. We were out at the brand new airport terminal this morning, and, it's hard to get, I don't want to get too overboard about an airport building. But, you know, Tom, there are some buildings that define a community. An arena.
Mm-hmm.
Or wherever the public place
or lack
of events,
of same,
or
sure.
Lack of same, exactly. Theaters, you know, classy theaters or lack of same. The airport, that's where people come and they go for many people when the first thing impression they'll ever have of our city will be where the airport.
That's true.
And the last impression they'll have of our city will be the airport. People who come to visit, people who are dignitaries, people who are thinking about moving here, people who are thinking about locating their company here, bringing dollars to the community, all of that. An airport is a really important place. Obviously, for somebody like me, I'm in the travel business, so I want the airport to be a positive experience for people. And all I have to say is this is really going to be something people can be proud of. When the previous new building opened a decade and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
we all thought it was quite classy, and it was really a step up. This really takes Sacramento into the modern era of airport travel. And we were out at the airport this morning. We had, thanks to our good friend Gina Swanky, who worked for the airport folks,
correct.
Now has moved on. Our friend Gina is now working with the FBI.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we'll talk more about that next week. But
a visit with Gina would be a lot different today
lot
than
different
it was a few weeks
ago. A couple weeks ago. She went with our folks on the motor coach today, and just a total delight. We had 80 sports leisure travelers out there touring the airport before the public got in today. And after they had a chance to look at the airport, I asked some of them what their first impressions were of Sacramento's new airport.
Well, the gingerbread stuff that they have all around I don't know that it's necessary.
Yeah, but you like the art.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I like everything.
What do you think, Mary?
I think they should have more seats for us young old people.
Young old.
Definitely.
What do you think?
I like the airiness of the whole place. It's really nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of open spaces
mm-hmm.
and stuff, huh? Yeah.
And the view. I like the view.
I agree. Let's go over and ask these ladies. What did you think of the new airport?
I thought this layout is very well thought out and very attractive, airy, light, and I like this choice of restaurants.
Excellent. What did you think of the new airport?
It's bright and cheery, lots of sunlight, and I especially like the bag section with the seating area around it.
Cool. What do you guys think?
Oh, I just love it. It's so light and all of the artwork. And I love the people mover.
Yeah, the people mover is great. It's just great. And by the way, I was just upstairs Channel 13 with your card.
Uh-huh.
And the guy asked me what I thought about coming in here before the rest of the crowd. I said we could thank Sports Leisure Mark Hoffman for that.
Watch Channel 13 tonight.
What'd you think of the new airport?
It's great. I love the modern feel and all the light. Great.
All right, let's go over here and ask a few more folks here. What'd you think of the new airport?
I'm very impressed with it. It's wonderful. It's big and great.
What'd you think, William?
It is better than most airports that I've gone through, and I'm impressed. But the one thing, the big rocking chairs need cushions.
The big rocking chairs. What do you guys think?
Very impressed with the artwork, but I do miss the stack of suitcases in the baggage claim.
I was expecting.
Well, I don't know. It's still new. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see next week. Okay, I'm going over here. What do you think?
The artwork is just spectacular, and it's nice to see the restaurants that we normally go to in Sacramento here.
In Sacramento, yeah, that's nice. We have food for a change. What'd you think?
It's awesome, and the best place to see the rabbit is on the second level.
It's on the second level. Rabbit tips are coming already. What'd you think?
Wonderful, and I like their restaurant choices.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I like the new conveniences for the travelers. Specifically at the gates, the configuration of the seating is much better, has plug-ins and USB plug-ins for everybody.
Amen. That's going to be a big deal. All right.
Deal.
Thank you very much, folks. You know, Tom, I think that one of the our last comment there about the USB ports and stuff like that, that's one thing that there's been a real lack of, especially in the old terminal in Sacramento,
right, yeah.
Because everybody has their gadgets and everybody is always looking for a plug. And there are abundant plugs everywhere. People will be happy to hear. And the rabbit that everyone talks about is this huge piece of art, which I know has been talked about in the media and stuff like that. It is the equivalent of the suitcase stack in the other terminal.
It has a name. I can't place what it is. It's not just the giant red rabbit, but we'll look into that and see if we can give it to you. It may even have it on it. I'm glad I can get an opportunity to reclaim my suitcase, the Samson 10 that has been hanging out in Terminal A, because every time I go there, I go, well, there's my suitcase.
All right, a couple of important things for folks coming up. This week, Thursday's when the big switch comes. If you have a flight Thursday, Friday, Saturday, why not take a drive out to the airport Tuesday or something like that? Just drive around, see. There's going to be a new holding lot. Things are going to be a little bit disorganized for a couple of days. And, of course, the entrances and exits and all that stuff are going to be different. The parking patterns are going to be different. So allow yourself a little extra time if you're flying out of the airport in the next couple of weeks, particularly if you're flying Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this coming week. Just give yourself a little bit of extra time, and you'll have time to look around and see the new stuff. If you're flying out of the old terminal, same thing, because they're going to have issues. All these airlines are changing places and all that stuff. So, new airport, that's all exciting. We've got some other stuff that we need to really get into today. United Airlines and Continental Airlines are merging their operations, and that's been going on for a while. They're also merging their frequent flyer program. And that is something that is of concern to a lot of people.
The Travel Guys are on the radio. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Always here to make you a smarter traveler. And how do we do that, Mark?
Joining us on the phone right now is Ed Perkins from Ashland, Oregon. Ed is our consumer reporter, and Ed has a couple of topics this weekend. But the one that comes first to mind, of course, Ed, is this situation with Continental and United and them merging their two programs together. I've just gotten off of a couple of Continental flights this week, and it's been kind of an interesting experience as opposed to United. But this is more about the frequent flyer and what's going to happen to him when these two programs merge together.
Okay, well, the combined United just announced some changes in their frequent flyer program. And for the most part, the ordinary traveler is only going to be marginally affected. What is mainly involved in the changes is the shuffling of the elite levels and what you get at various elite levels of their frequent flyer program. And, of course, if you don't travel at least 25,000 miles a year, you aren't going to be involved in that at all. And even that first elite level, between 25,000 and 50,000 a year, is getting less and less useful in terms of access to upgrades and stuff like that.
Well, and it seems, Ed, just in my experience this week, the number of people now who qualify for some kind of early boarding, you have status, you bought status, you have a credit card now that allows you status. There's only three people that board the plane
under the normal process anymore. It's all just a big crunch up at the beginning. It makes what the way Southwest board airplanes look quite civilized, frankly.
Yeah, it really does.
But at the same time, now with Southwest having the opportunity to pay ahead if you want to board early, I've discovered that when I go to check in online, the best I can get is like A55.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because now everybody is falling all over themselves to get on the plane first, and one of the reasons they're doing that is because the overhead space is limited.
So how is this? How are these changes going to impact those elite flyers?
Well, the elite flyers will come out as they usually do ahead of the game, because the airlines have not finally. It's been a while now. But have recognized that the real loyalty element of the frequent flyer programs is not in the miles you earn anymore. It's in the status you get, access to upgrades and access to Economy Plus and that kind of free baggage check and all that. And what it means is that it's going to be a little more systematized at the elite levels, but what ordinary travelers have to realize is that in some ways it's a zero-sum game. If you offer more and more people early boarding, it means that if you don't have status, your chances of boarding early are pretty remote, as the mathematicians say, vanishingly small.
And then you get into that issue of, is there going to be space in the overhead bins for the things that you're carrying on? And so what the airlines are basically doing is they're creating this game where we have to jump over each other, and each jump cost you 10 or 15 or 20 bucks along the way. When I tried to check in St. Louis on a Continental/United flight, there were four opportunities over the course of the check-in for me to spend extra money with them, even though I am an elite flyer and would have no reason to buy extra miles or things like that, do any of the other stupid things. But they have figured out that there is a way to do this. All right, Ed, let's move on quickly to a couple of other things here. You talked a little bit about Google Wallet in one of your postings this week, and your title of your column was Gimmick or Godsend. So tell us, what do you think?
I think both. I mean, it's coming. I mean, there's too many heavy hitters backing it to avoid it.
Well, first of all, why don't we explain to the listeners that might not know what Google Wallet's about?
Sorry. Google Wallet is, use a smartphone, and instead of plastic, when you're at various circumstances, when you might otherwise use a credit card or something like that, instead of that, you have a smartphone, and you just tap it against a receiver, and that takes the place of having your credit card run. And it's not a different kind of credit card. It just is a different way of using whatever plastic you have. But the idea of using smartphones for this kind of thing has become a real important element of what these guys in the tech business are doing. And they really want you to use, ultimately, to use a smartphone as your sort of transaction device for just about everything.
So, Ed, is this the wave of the future that just needs a little ironing out at this point in time? Is that kind of your take on it?
Technically, it's probably okay already. In order for it to become widespread, there's got to be much wider adoption than there is now. With Google Wallet, it's limited to an Android phone, it's limited to one phone network, it's limited to only to certain credit cards, and it's limited in terms of the number of merchants that have these terminals that you can tap. So right now, and as I say, for the next decade at least, it's not going to displace the older technologies of using plastic cards. But it is coming in, and you'll find more and more suppliers are beefing up their systems and their hardware so they'll be able to handle these things.
Ed Perkins writes for SmarterTravel.com and is a regular guest here on the Travel Guys. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, we will post Ed's columns both on Google Wallet and on his thoughts on the United Continental merger. I thought you had some thoughts there that weren't necessarily covered by everybody else. Ed, thank you again for joining us on the Travel Guys.
It's always a pleasure.
And I'm tapping my Android, and that tells me that we are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Coming up right after the break, we're joined in studio by Travel Guys reporter Clayton Whitehead. He'll represent the average guy's look at the Continental United Frequent Flyer program. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Sports Leisure Travel Club members, here's your update for Sunday, October the 2nd. Sports Leisure has ticket and transportation packages available to see the traveling Broadway Tony Award-winning shows Hair and Fella in San Francisco, along with the Blue Man Group at the Gallo Center in Modesto. Sports Leisure is also taking people to see Peter Pan at the El Dorado in Reno and in November, and to the DeYoung Museum in San Francisco to see the Masters of Venice, the Renaissance painters. For more information on any of these excursions, call our office at 361-2. That's 361-8687, or go to our 24/7 office at sportsleisure.com and click on day trips. Sports Leisure is attending the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in January and the Olympic Gymnastics Finals in June in San Jose. Packages include tickets, transportations, and accommodations. Go to sportsleisure.com for information. Our Lucky Travel Club members for today are Donna Heilman and Wayne Hippensteel. Donna Heilman and Wayne Hippensteel, if you are listening today, call the Sports Leisure office before the close of business Tuesday to claim $100 in travel cash. And that's your Sports Leisure Traveler update for today.
Thank you, Mark. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. A little earlier, we were visiting with Ed Perkins, our consumer reporter, about, of course, the frequent flyer wars. And Mark mentioned that we were going to be joined in the studio by a regular guy. Mark?
Joining us in the studio now is road reporter Clayton Whitehead. Clayton is a frequent flyer. He's a United customer. Today we're talking about this United Continental merger. Clayton, what do you see there as somebody who frequently hits the friendly skies?
Well, they've made a lot of changes in the Mileage Plus program, Mark, and some are good and some are bad. I guess my first reaction is that it's so different from the current program that it's really hard to make apples-to-apples comparisons.
I think that is really an interesting observation on your part, that they came up with a program that made it kind of different. They also dropped the revenue idea, which we're going to talk to Ben about a little bit later on, but that you had to buy so much worth of tickets in order to.
Right.
They just stuck with the flat mileage.
Well, they've kind of gone with a happy medium, as I see it. It's going to be miles as well as the amount you pay for it because of bonus miles. Bonus miles will be calculated based on the amount you pay for your ticket. So
if you're a person who frequently buys expensive tickets at the last minute,
you could be rewarded up to 250%.
If you're a typical traveler who buys your tickets 3-4 months in advance,
you're just going to get 1 point for every mile.
That's right. Now, they've created a new category.
They have. They now have got what they're calling Premier Platinum, which will come in with 75,000 miles flown or 90 qualifying segments. So I guess I feel good about that since this year I'm going to have about 80,000 miles.
So instead of 25, 50, 100, they're creating a 25, 50, 75, 100
exactly
segment. One of the issues, though, our general manager, Kevin Murphy, mentioned this the other day about the fact that now with the people who only make the minimum level silver or the premier silver level, the 25,000-mile level, will no longer be able to get those coveted economy plus extra legroom seats in advance. They're going to have to wait until 24 hours ahead of time.
Exactly. The deal is not as sweet for Premier members, the minimum level. Historically, you could check two bags for free. Now only one bag for free. Historically, you could sit in Economy Plus seating. Now you can only acquire one of those seats 24 hours in advance if it's available.
What seems to be happening here, Tom, is that they're getting so many people are qualifying on the lowest level that it almost feels like they're culling out some of the benefits from the lowest level people in order to have enough to go around, so to speak.
Do you see this as a trend where other airlines are going to begin to restructure?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think the interesting thing is here is that United has also issued a new credit card, and we'll talk to Ben about this too, but there are many more ways now to get upgraded. And what's happening is there are more people now fighting for those coveted upgradable seats, and the airline is creating this incredible monopoly game, if you will, of ways to make your currency, but there are limited ways, would you not say, Clayton, there are limited ways to spend your currency and get good value.
Exactly. I mean, it's a shell game that they're playing, and the frequent travelers and the savvy travelers will continue to benefit if they're smart and make their decisions well, which has really always been the way it is. And at the end of the day, anything they give me for free is something I wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Well, that's my question. As someone who flies a lot and is in the, you know, in a position to take advantage of the silver and gold and all the different rewards, are you more interested in a cheaper fare, money back, or are you interested in upgrades and benefits?
Yes.
Both.
Yes. Definitely.
But I think that history shows us that the average flying public wants the cheapest fare.
Yes.
And they're willing to put up with a lot to get the cheapest fare. Now what's happening is that some of these people who have gone out of their way to have a little bit of a loyalty or alliance or allegiance to one airline, particularly if it's United, and thought, gee, you know, I finally made this level, this 25,000 level, are going to find that it's not worth as much as they thought it was. Clayton, I know you have another engagement. Thank you so much for coming by the studio today. Any last comments?
Just one real quick. I have made my status over the last number of years not only by flying on United, which I do very occasionally, but by flying on a number of other Star Alliance carriers. One of the little cravats of the new program I found is that at least four of your flights has to be on United or all belts are off. They won't calculate your miles even on Star Alliance carriers or Premier status.
And we're going to ask Ben, our mileage runner, about some of the Star Alliance things and some of the other quirks that are in there, because he'll know all about that. Clayton Whitehead, our road reporter, thank you very much for stopping by today.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Clayton. And coming up after the break, we'll have popular guest Ben Schlappig will join us. Ben knows all and sees all when it comes to mileage programs. He'll talk to us a little bit about that. Also, Michelle Alexander from the Arts and Business Council is going to be by to talk about Prelude to the Season coming up here on News Talk 1530.
You know, I'm riding on the city of New Orleans. Are we going to hear the singing? No, I guess not.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah, there you go. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. We are the travel and entertainment guys. A little later on, we'll be talking about Prelude to the Seasons. But right now, one of our favorite guests is joining us. Mark, you got Ben lined up there on the old phone line?
We do. We're talking today about the merger of the United and Continental mileage plans and the merger of United and Continental Airlines. And, of course, if you only travel once a year and you travel on whoever's got the cheapest ticket, then this may not have any relevance to you at all. But if you are a road warrior like some of us, then this may or may not have some repercussions for you. And joining us on the line is our mileage runner, also known as Lucky, 1 mile at a time, Ben Schlappig. Good afternoon, Ben. Good evening, I guess, from Florida.
I'm actually in Portland. So
good afternoon. That's right. You're on the West Coast, not too far from us.
It's hard to pin this Ben down.
You have to keep track of Ben. Sometimes it's hard to get Ben live because sometimes he's in an airplane and he's not reachable.
You know, I'm thinking, Ben, that Continental, United, and a lot of these other airlines have been watching you and listening to this program and reading your blog and decided they needed to make some moves to put an end to some of the stuff that you do.
That's what it seems like.
Ben, it with the announcement of the plan, that what really wasn't in it, what that they floated originally, was some sort of revenue attachment to it. Let's skip over that for a minute and just talk about, from the standpoint of a frequent flyer, what's the downside to the new United program?
I would say the downside is a lot less than we had expected, but at the same time, I think basically they're taking away the most important elite benefits at each level. So I'd say the downside, no matter what your elite status is huge. So if you're a premier, so that means if you fly just over 25,000 miles a year, as you mentioned earlier, they take away Economy Plus. You only get that now at the time of 24 hours before departure.
Yeah, and imagine flying if you're flying with your spouse. And you and I both know that the seats in Economy Plus tend to fill up aisle window. And so you have to wait till 24 hours beforehand. How are you going to get two seats together with the person that you're traveling with? You know, I mean, I see that as a real problem.
And that's why it is a huge problem, because I think you'll find that, you know, it might just be that aisle seats or window seats in regular Economy will be more desirable than middle seats in Economy Plus. So I would say, you know, that's a huge loss to that benefit. And then at the mid-elite level, which is, you know, premier executive, so that would be 50,000 miles, or now they're calling it gold premier, premier gold, they're dropping the mileage bonus from 100% to 50%. So previously, if you flew 1,000 miles and you had mid-tier status, you would actually earn 2,000 miles. So now instead you would just earn $1,500. So they take away 50% of that bonus. And I always thought that was one of the biggest benefits of being a mid-tier elite with United, was earning all those miles, and they're cutting that back quite a bit.
Now, Ben, also, they put in a rule that you have to actually fly on a United airplane four times, which doesn't seem all that unreasonable. But I know that there are many other airlines that are members of the Star Alliance that United/Continental is a part of, and some of them have more lax rules and regulations in terms of, is there a way for frequent travelers who really gain the system to go in the back door here somehow?
I mean, I suppose you could credit to a different airline. So, for example, U.S. Airways, they have similar elite levels, but they don't have that segment requirement. But at the same time, four segments really isn't that much, so I'd say it's probably not worth switching your patterns too much unless you actually never fly United. But there's not really an easy way to get around that, unfortunately.
Ben, how does this affect the everyday flyer? Is someone who doesn't have any status, they fly twice a year, they go on the web, or they pick up the phone, and they find the cheapest ticket, and they go. Is this going to have any impact to them?
You know, I would say, frankly, I don't think the impact is that huge there. And if anything, I think it helps, because instead of previously having credited your miles to perhaps Continental and United separately, you'll be crediting to one airline. I'd say the only negative for the infrequent traveler is that fares will continue to go up due to more consolidation in the industry. So I'd say that's the major negative, is that we'll probably see airfare prices continue to rise.
Ben, is there a limit to this? I mean, in other words, once 85% of the people have in some way earned status, paid dollars, done something, have the right credit card, whatever it is, to get on the airplane first, doesn't it become somewhat self-defeating when 85% of the people who are going to get on the plane are all fighting to be first in line because you've given them some status upgrade or they've purchased
exactly.
It?
And that's how things are nowadays. It's really that you're not just trying to qualify for status. You really need to one-up everybody else because, you know, they have now lots of times three or four different elite boarding groups. So if you previously were a premier and you had seating area one boarding, now you really want to be, I guess, with 1K boarding or first class boarding. So certainly you're really having to one-up everybody else, and that's kind of the sad thing, is that no matter what status you earn, there's still always someone ahead of you.
Ben, now United and now Continental combined there, and Mark, you can answer this as well. Are you assigned seats, or is this first come, first serve? And are all of these elite flyers are going to be boarding the plane before you if you're just a regular flyer?
Well, this is part of the problem, is that, yes, you are assigned seats. You can select seats, and elite flyers with United have the advantage of picking from seats in the front, not in first class, but in the front part of coach that have extra legroom with them.
Mm-hmm.
But now those first level of elite flyers will no longer be able to pick that until 24 hours ahead of departure, which is a significant situation. I mean, you can no longer get that cherished little bit of extra legroom, sort of little bit better than the average economy seat. So Ben's point is well taken, that is something that really I think is going to be a loss. The other thing that's going to happen, and I'll disagree with Ben for a minute and then I'll shut up and let him answer, is that you're going to, as more and more people get a privilege to board early, what's going to happen is the guy who only flies once or twice a year and he gets stuck in that last boarding group, there's never going to be overhead space for him. There's never going to be, in other words, some of the creature comforts he will never get to take advantage of because they will disappear before he gets on the airplane. Perhaps, Ben?
No, I absolutely agree with you there, Mark. I think that my only point was simply that I think that even now, sometimes if you're in seating area one, you might just have to gate check your bag, because I've been on flights where, you know, 2/3 of the plane is in seating area one. So that really does take away the benefit. You're absolutely right.
I think there's now a law that you have to bring a roller bag on board if you're over 6 years old on an airplane. I mean, from what I've seen over the last week and a half, everybody is bringing one of those big old hanging suitcases on board with them.
And there isn't enough room for all of them.
Well, there isn't enough room for all of them, and the airline knows that.
And don't they, from what I understand, bottom line is they get to a certain point where they're going to make you check them anyway. Now, I also understand that if you do bring it on and you don't have room for it on the plane, when they say, well, I'm sorry, we don't have room, you end up getting that bag checked for free.
Oh, that's absolutely right. If you can get it through security and it doesn't have any of those liquids or gels or something like that, yes, and I have no doubt that a lot of people are playing that game. Ben, your thoughts on carry-ons?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, I can't count how many times I've seen people that have probably three or four full-size carry-ons and they sneak them through security, and then they get to the gate, and of course they don't mind gate checking them because they're still saving $25 or $50 a bag. So there's no doubt it happens, and I think that the airlines really need to work better with the initial screeners that check your boarding pass to make sure that you know, they don't let those bags through.
Ben, always good. Ben, always good information. Any parting thoughts before we let you go today?
I would say that we're going to continue to see the industry, you know, benefit to road because there's going to be more consolidation, and you know, it's sad where it's headed, but we'll hope for the best.
I'm getting to the point, Ben, where I'm about to tell folks that, you know what, ditch the airline credit cards and go for a hotel credit card because and pile up the points there because the rooms are almost always available at a hotel chain, and you don't have all of these issues with the airline things and stuff. And while hotel points generally are not worth as much as airline miles, if they're easier to obtain and you can use, then you can spend them as currency. Maybe that's the way to go.
I just booked a hotel stay for a $2,000 hotel stay on points at the Park Hyatt in Sydney in a suite, so I'd say they're worth quite a bit as well. I'd say that's the best way to go nowadays.
Absolutely. Ben Schlappig, thank you very much for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. When we come back after the break, we have a very special charity situation that we would like to get you involved in. And we also have Michelle Alexander from the Arts and Business Council here to tell you about Prelude to the Season. And if you're involved in the cultural arts in any way, shape, or form in Sacramento as a participant or a spectator, you'll want to be a part of it. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Mark, I have to ask you, do you know how to pack a carry-on bag for a full month of travel?
I absolutely do, because I also know John Holloway. Nice try.
Well, my point was going to be, well, if you don't, and since Mark does, because he's already buddied up with John Holloway at Holloway Travel, where, by the way, you can go on to their website, which is packinglightly.net, and you can actually watch a video where John shows you how to pack a carry-on bag for a month of travel. But that's not all you'll find at Packing Light, as well as at Holloway Travel, huh, Mark?
Hey, if you happen to go to Holloway Travel this week at 1150 Fulton Avenue, they're open right now, and as a matter of fact, when you go in, mention that you heard them on the Travel Guys. And ladies, they're having a half-off sale on indispensable black dresses. I am not quite sure what an indispensable black dress is, but my goodness, they're about $30. They're a half price. Anyways, indispensable black dresses on sale this week at Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue. Mention the Travel Guys when you go in, if you would be so kind, or you can give them a call on their toll-free number at 800-349-0525. You can also visit them at packinglight.com.
You know, anytime I would hear dresses half off, I would be immediately there to find out what that looks like. I don't think that's what they're talking about.
I don't think so. Stop in and see John and our friends at Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue and tell them the Travel Guys sent you.
You recognize that song? That means that it's time on the Travel Guys and Entertainment program for that entertainment segment. And one of our gals that used to come in pretty regularly from the Arts and Business Council, Michelle, has joined us. Huh, Mark?
Michelle Alexander is here. Welcome.
Hello, gentlemen.
And you are coming up on your big event of basically what you work for. 51 weeks and 6 days of the year is an event that kicks off, informally, the cultural arts season in Sacramento each fall. And it is coming up very soon here called Prelude to the Season. And you are here today to tell us more about it.
Yeah.
How much tickets cost, what it's all about. If somebody is an arts, cultural arts fan and they're out there listening right now, how would they become a part of this?
Thanks. Well, this year's our 24th annual Prelude to the Season, and it's going to be Friday, October 14th, so we're looking at about 2 weeks. So I'm starting to lose some of my hair, but I'm excited because we've got some new awards. We've got 10 awards total we're giving out, including a new one for arts, journalism, and Artist of the Year. The event's really a gathering of about 400 people, elected officials, community leaders, artists, organizations, entrepreneurs. They get together for a really fabulous lunch that the Double Trees award-winning chef prepares. We have some fabulous entertainment, including Cosmo Cabaret's Bingo, some hip-hop dancing.
It's a fun program, yeah. For people who may not have been here, it's think Academy Awards or something on TV, and think about awards being presented and there being entertainment bits in between each award. And that's a similar type of format to this program, except these are all local folks or local productions of things
who are
coming to share their talents with us, and along the way, perhaps some of them are going to be honored for the work that they've done.
Yeah. So if you want to join us for a wonderful lunch and some great networking, fabulous show, you can go online to our website at sacabc.org, and that'll be on the Travel Guys website as well. And the tickets are $65 a person. You can also have a reserve table for 5 or 10, for 700 or 1300. So I hope to see you there.
But the important thing is to tell folks that really and truly is that if you're just a person who loves the arts and you would love to come out and find out about some of these things that you probably wouldn't find out about otherwise. They're things that are a little bit below the surface. You know, we have the music circus and we have the big shows, the Broadway shows and things that come to town. And a lot of people know about them, but not everybody knows about, this is what I found, Michelle, when I got involved with the council a few years ago, is that there are all these people, Tom, who come to this event and you think, wow, this is a really culturally diverse community, because you see all these people here and they're all different colors and shapes and sizes and they have all different kinds of talents, and you know, some of them do arts that are right in your face and some of them do arts that you know, look at on the wall and admire, and it's all it's an incredible event, I think. I mean, it kind of summarizes the whole year. And it's a chance for all of these people to get together and network with each other. And what I have found as a person who supports the arts but is not necessarily involved in them is that this event is a wonderful education, because you can come and be just an average person who enjoys the arts and really learn a lot about what's going on around town. Maybe discover something that you want to get involved in or you want to volunteer for or be a part of. Or maybe there's that some little part of you, that artisan part of you that's always wanted to come out, and this provides the catalyst to put you in touch with that kind of person.
Oh, yeah. Get a preview of behind the scenes, a backstage player, see what's going on, who's doing
what. Ticket sales are going well, I understand.
Ticket sales are great. We're doing really well this year. So, yeah, more the merrier.
I was honored to be able to be there last year. In fact, that's where Michelle and I met for the first time. And I was there representing Sports Leisure because Mark and Clayton were on a road trip somewhere. And I have to say, for those that may be thinking of going, you're going to get an opportunity to meet some of the most important people.
Well, Mayor KJ will be our welcoming speaker.
Oh, really? Hey. Well, all right.
And KFBK's very own Kitty O'Neill.
Mistress
of ceremonies?
Yes, absolutely. Mistress of ceremonies.
That sounds almost sultry.
So you'll have an opportunity to meet Kitty. And like I say, see some of the major movers and shakers, both in the business and the arts community, all in one place. It was quite an honor.
Yeah, we're really pleased this year to have generous sponsors like Sports Leisure Vacations, Chevron, Raley's, Western Health Advantage. They've all been a big part of putting this thing together.
A lot of people have stepped up, and that's really important now, because like all arts groups, everybody is scrambling for the same hard-to-get dollars out there. So this
Absolutely.
Is really important. Again, it's the date of the event is?
Friday, October 14th. So about 2 weeks.
So it's about 2 weeks away. It is a noontime event. So if you are working during the day, you could get away for a few hours and give yourself a little break. And I promise you that you will go back to the office feeling like you've really done something positive for yourself. Or if you're just somebody who is retired and has the time and the ability to be able to come, what a wonderful opportunity to support the arts and learn a little bit more about the arts community in Sacramento and help us kick off the season.
Absolutely. Thanks,
okay.
Mark.
Prelude to the season, Mr. Thomas.
Everything you need to know, available at travelguysradio.com.
Thank you. It's always nice to have Michelle in the studio.
Absolutely.
Don't you think so? She is one of the nicest people in the cultural arts community in Sacramento.
Well, and if you do go to Prelude, you will get a chance to meet Mark and Clayton and some of his other staff.
It's kind of like, as we were talking about, it's kind of like a miniature Emmy Awards or an Academy
really
Awards.
Is.
A lot of entertainment, a lot of fun things. You don't have to be a member of the cultural arts community to go. So I would really encourage people. You can get tickets are easy to get. Go to travelguysradio.com or give our office a call on Monday and we'll send you there. Listen, before we go, Tom, there's something that we have on our website online that's kind of a charity thing. It's a little bit something different than we usually do. There's a place in Anaheim, a restaurant called the White House Restaurant. We have used it for group meals for a number of years. It's a wonderful place to eat in Anaheim. The gentleman who runs it, Bruno Serrato, has a program where he feeds homeless kids from local motels, over 300,000 meals to date. And he is up for one of the, he's been nominated as one of the CNN heroes. If you know, every year they have a program mm-hmm. where they honor a bunch of average Americans. And you can vote, and there is a, there's a prize involved here. And this man is a really good man who is doing a really wonderful thing in his community. And if you would consider going to travelguysradio.com and look, it's right up there under, it says help us out, and read the article about Bruno. And if you would consider voting online for him, I would consider it a personal favor. He has really done a, he has a wonderful restaurant, and he's a great guy.
Now, he is hoping to, what he's $250,000 is what he's contributed in meals so far to homeless people. And he has a goal of moving one family a month from a motel into an apartment.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, just great. One guy making a difference. Anyway, just go to travelguysradio.com if you would. And all the stuff from today's show is there that you might find of importance. Also, there are a lot of, there's always anything that we find that just kind of interesting. We throw it up on there and you can take a look at it. Ed Perkins was talking about the Google wallet or ways to get through airport security, things of that sort. Also, the name of the rabbit is Leap.
Leap. That's why we were talking
about the rabbit
that,
at the airport.
The giant red rabbit, and he was created by the same guy that created the blue bear in Denver, Lawrence Argent. So
it's a pretty big and interesting sort of piece of art out there at the airport. But anyway, it's a fun place. Remember to go early if you have a flight Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The airport is going to be turning over to the new terminal.
During the week between 3 and 7, please join me on Classic 93.1 FM. I'll be playing the classic hits of the 78 and 80s. We are also the radio home of Sac State Hornet football.
Next week we will be here with a very special program. We've got a couple of gas cards we're going to give away. You're just going to have a wide open contest. What's the most visited tourist